Hey, folks, this is Pastor Mike, and you're listening to our Wednesday night Bible study online. We hope you enjoy this, and you can hear more of our sermons and teachings at www.visitbethelchurch.org. God bless you, and have a great day.
I'm glad you came to the house of the Lord tonight. I'm glad you didn't sit home and watch TV. Amen. I'm glad that you, I'm glad for you. Amen. I don't know about you, but I need the teaching and the preaching from God's Word.
Amen.
Even when I give it. And that's not egotistical. That's not boastful. That's not, I'm so good, I just listen to myself. That's not how that is. Even every now and then, I'll go back and listen to a sermon I preached. And God will use that to deal with me. And it's not my words or my wisdom. It's the wisdom of the Lord. And I thank God for that. And so I'm glad to be in God's house tonight. I'm glad for the time I spent studying the Word of God. It has enriched me. It has blessed me. God has helped me in a lot of ways. And I want God to help you tonight is what I want more than anything. And so we're here tonight. We're here in God's house. We need some refreshing. Amen.
Yes.
We need some help from God. We need a blessing from God. And we are going to get those things through the ensamples that God gives to us from the Scriptures. All these things were written for ensamples, the Bible says. And God's going to teach us how things are in our life and how they will be. He's going to teach us those things by what has already happened. Because I serve a God who is the same yesterday and today and forever.
Amen.
I don't serve the God that changes. Okay?
Amen.
That changes himself. Now, I serve a God that will change me. Amen?
Amen.
And so tonight we're going to be in the Word of God tonight, Genesis chapter 42. I got such a blessing today studying what I wanted to preach tonight. I'm having a hard time remembering where I left off. And I want the whole story to make sense to you tonight. And we're going to go there. So just open up your Bible in Genesis 42. I know we left off dealing with the guilt that Joseph's brethren felt upon remembering how they had treated Joseph. They still don't know who this is yet. Okay, they still don't know who this is yet. And so there's just some things that I want to get through tonight. I made some notes right before the service, and I'm just kind of thinking now maybe they'll go into next week. I'm not sure yet. We'll just see how the Lord leads. But I want us to get a blessing out of the Word tonight. And tonight's teaching will be an idea of how you know you're in the right religion. Okay? I mean, we hear everybody telling us, well, all roads, all religions are the same God, or all this and that and the other. One religion is as good as the other. No, I don't agree with that. And if I agreed with that, I wouldn't be here in this place tonight. I'd be in some liberal church somewhere. I'd be in the Chrislam church. You know what that is? There are churches. Right now, there are churches that are mixing Islam and the study of the Quran in with Christianity, quote-unquote Christianity. Okay, it's a blend of the two. And I don't know why and even our own president today is hosting the end of the Ramadan feast. He's having this big Muslim dinner at the White House. Okay, I don't go for that. Amen, that is not honoring the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Amen. So anyway, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer tonight, and we're going to study about how we know we're in the right religion, okay? How we know we're in the right one. Anyway, does anybody have any prayer requests tonight? No. Yes, Rose. Pray for Joe tonight. He's got some big infection.
Like around his arm, stuff like that, so he needs prayer. So, yes, Eric.
Yeah, pray for my family.
Okay, pray for Eric's family. Yes, sir.
My father.
Pray for his father. Amen. Jared. Okay, pray for Liam. Anybody else? Yes, Linda.
Sure thing.
Who needs prayer for in your family?
Raise your hand. Amen.
I'll listen.
The
devil's going to attack Godspeed. He's going to
unload
both barrels. And you just mark it down. One day
it's going to be me.
then the next day it's going to be somebody else.
Okay, and I'll tell you, I'm going to tell you something. He hates his church, and you're sitting here tonight, and he hates your guts for that. I got one of Gary, nicest emails I think we've ever gotten, and we've gotten some good emails. But one of the families that visited with us over the weekend, our homecoming, just absolutely beside themselves. They said, you said make yourself feel at home and feel welcome, and they said, words cannot describe how well at home we felt in your church. And this family in particular, God has brought them out of a lot of spiritual junk in their past, and he's used this church to do it. And I want to tell you something. We just sang this song a while ago. I can't remember, but it's what we just sang. I knew something was grabbing hold of my attention while we were singing it. That wouldn't turn your eyes to Jesus. The one before that. Yeah, I'm on the battlefield. And it's talking about telling people the truth and saving them out of the darkness that they're in. And two things we want to do is we want to save lost people out of sin. Amen. Number two, we want to rescue some of God's people out of the pit of the false doctrine that they're getting into. And when you do that, you are targeted by the devil. Okay? He will launch an attack. He will attack you. He will attack your home. He will attack me. He will attack my home. He'll do whatever he can and use whatever he can and wherever a stronghold is. If you listen, that ought to preach on strongholds. Because wherever the devil's housed up and got a stronghold, that's where he's going to be busy trying to weaken your defenses and trying to bring you down. How many of you believe that? Say amen. How many of you personally know where all your little strongholds are?
Yeah.
You ought to. Okay? And he's going to use it. He's going to work on and deal with every single one of them. Now, the neat thing about that is that where you're weak, God is strong. Okay? God did not say, strength. Now, get strong now for me. Okay? Where you're weak, God is strong if you'll let him be. Okay? But you got to let him be. But anyway, pray for one another tonight. And just pray that God will just help us keep getting the gospel out and the truth out. All right? Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear God, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord, for the cool weather that you sent. Finally, dear God, Lord, a break. And Father, we thank you for that. Lord, we know, God, Lord, there may be some more hot days coming. But Father, you're so good to us, Lord, in that you just give us a break from it. And you know, God, that we need a rest. You know, God, Lord, that we get tired, we get weary. And Father, we need a rest. We need a break every now and then. And you're good about sending that to us. So Father, we thank you, dear God, for caring about us that much, to even change the weather, Lord. And Lord, Father, we know that if you're able to do that, you're able to do abundantly more than we're even able to ask or think. And I just pray, Heavenly Father, dear God, Lord, that you'd make us diligent about prayer, asking for things, dear God, that we need. Because God, you're the one that can give it. And Father, Lord, you're laying some things in my heart right now, God, Lord, that I want to pray for. And Lord, you know what they are, and I pray, dear God, Lord, that you'd just bless in that situation. Lord, several deals, dear God. Lord, you'd just bless. And Father, Lord, bless and honor your word tonight. And Lord, Father, we just ask, God, Lord, that you'd open our eyes and help us to know and help us to study. And Lord, just prepare us for the rest of the week that's coming. Get us through it, God. Bring us back, Lord, on Sunday, Lord, that we can honor and worship you. Bless and honor your word. Bless our families. Bless these people tonight, Lord. They're tired. They need grace. And I pray, Lord, that you'd give it to them in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. I do know something I want to deal with tonight. In Genesis chapter 42, you got your Bible there? Say amen. Now, here's what happened. And let me kind of give you the story. The brethren of Joseph have come up to Egypt. And they're going to buy corn. They don't know that Joseph is there. They put Joseph completely out of their mind. Okay? And it's been, how long has it been up till this point? Does anybody know? In fact, I'm not going to ask that because I haven't got to that yet. It is a really, really neat study. When you study in here how old Joseph is at this time. Okay? It's really, really neat. Okay? And you can discern that You go back and you find out how old Joseph was when he received the two dreams that he had. And we're going to find out later why he had two dreams, okay? And then you kind of move ahead, and when Joseph gave the interpretation of Pharaoh's dream, you look at how old he was then, okay? And then when we get into the rest of his story, you just do a little math. One day I just was doing a little math, and I went, praise the Lord. Okay? Count things in the Bible. Amen? And it doesn't take a genius. We don't need formulas. We don't need to do algebra. Just count a few simple things in the Bible, and God will give you a blessing. But anyway, and so they don't recognize him, and Joseph recognizes them, and he's speaking rough to them. Okay? But so anyway, now verse 24, he turned himself about from them and wept and returned to them again. And he's just older. The feelings are starting to catch up with him now. He's realizing what's going on. And God begins to deal with Joseph now. And so look what Joseph does. Now, Joseph, always in this story, is going to be a type and a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to see Jesus? He's right here. Okay? That which was is that which shall be. All these things given to us as examples. Jesus said, the Bible says, search the scriptures. These are they which testify of me, the Bible says. Every page is going to testify of the Lord Jesus Christ. You believe that? Say amen. Now, verse 25. Then Joseph commanded to fill the sacks with corn and restore every man's money into his sack and to give them provision for the way. And thus did he unto them. Here it is, Joseph's brothers, they don't know Joseph is there, so they don't think that they've got somebody on the inside that's going to give them a little good deal. And I'll be honest with you, that's what most of these lost people out here running up and down the street, they think they've got an inside deal with God, and you don't. They think they've got it, and I've heard this, I sat at a man's table and he told me this, and I've heard preachers talk about how some lost men say, me and God's got my own thing going, and I sat at a man's table one night, who now is saved, but he sat there and looked at us straight in the eye, and he said, me and God's got our own thing going. I'm going, man, I can't believe I just heard him say that. But people think they've got some kind of inside little deal with God that allows them to go hunting and fishing on Sunday, and allows them to drink Budweiser beer and chase women and say cuss words and do all kinds of stuff that James is supposed to do as a man. They think they got their own little deal going with God, and that the truth is they don't. They're lying to themselves. Because in that little deal, they can go do whatever they feel like doing, and God will still take them to heaven. That's not Christianity. Amen. Let me hear you say amen. That's not how it is. But anyway, watch this now. So they don't know who Joseph is. They don't know. So when they come to get the food, they do what is normal when you go get food. You take money. Amen. You take money, and we expect. Listen. You can't go to Walmart, Snooks, Aldi's, stop and say, pack a sack or wherever it is. You cannot go in there and say, hey, I know this guy. Can I have what I want for free? They'll throw you out and fire that guy. Amen? Okay? That's just not how it happens. And I want you to watch this now, because I said a while ago, I want us to understand, how is it that you and I know that we have the right religion?
Yes.
Let me just kind of lay it out for you. Just about every religion that's around, unless you're a Satan worshiper, promises an eternity of bliss somehow, some way. Okay? Somehow, some way. With Islam, which is one of my top five dumbest religions. Okay? If you're in Islam, you're told that if you're a man, that if you die a good Muslim, you could go to paradise, and waiting for you in paradise is 72 virgin women chained to a couch that you get to be with over and over and over again for all of you. You just get done with one and go to the other. And it's like that for all of eternity. That's top five dumb religions. Okay? Because that may sound good to the man, but what if you're one of the women? If you're a woman, if you're a Muslim woman, the only hope that you have for eternity is the hope that you'll be the one of the ones chained to that couch. And this is what our president is celebrating tonight. That's wicked. Amen. Let me hear Bethel Church say amen. That's wicked to think that. Even Buddhism promises this idea of nirvana. Okay? This idea of a final ecstasy that you'll achieve this deal, okay? Now, in Islam, it requires, Islam is one of the most strict religions that there is, okay? Islam requires a strict adherence to the laws of Islam. And if you end up, and I'll tell you how superstitious they are and how dumb this is. Muslims believe that if a Muslim dies, if he's unclean, like if he's been defiled by a pig or something like that, he will not go to heaven. And so before all these terrorists got on that plane at September 11th, they had a ceremonial washing and cleansing of themselves before they did what they did to purify themselves so that they had a better chance when they flew the planes into those buildings. Okay? And I'm just kind of laying it out to you. But it requires service. It requires strict adherence. And it requires everything that you've got as a Muslim. So it is with Buddhism. So it is with even the way Christianity is turning right now. It's turning into a works,
yes,
system that's either based upon what you perform or, listen to this, based upon what you pay. And I was couldn't sleep the other night and flipped it over to old Mike Murdoch. You remember him? We was watching that one morning. And, you know, he was sitting there and he was talking. And I'm listening to him and I'm going, here it is. He's setting it up. Took him about 15 minutes in his talk to finally set it up to where you are going to give me your money. And if you do, then God will return something to you. He actually said 100-fold. He said, you just give me whatever, God will give it to you 100-fold. By that point, I was sick, wanted to vomit, couldn't take no more of it. I've had it with that garbage.
Amen.
Okay, now here's what I'm getting at. You want to judge a religion on whether or not they're the true religion or not, and I will tell you that every religion except one requires servitude or money. Payment of some kind, in order to receive the blessings of the God that they serve. They're going to require either servitude, which is basically bondage, slavery. If you perform all these deeds and functions, then you might have a chance. And even at that, they don't make it an absolute promise. Okay, they will string you along and string and. If you tell them to do something and they do it, they think then it's over with. And so all the religions will just keep stringing them along, never giving them that hope, never giving them that promise. Just keep, as long as the money keeps coming in, as long as you keep doing the works and doing whatever they said tell you to do, as long as they can hold power over you, they're just going to keep stringing you along in their little religion. And every religion except one requires money or service of some kind, works of some kind, as payment for eternal life. Except one. Bible Christianity requires no money, no service, no acts of faithfulness, no works, no strict obedience. It does not require that as terms of salvation. Okay? And I'm not going to get into the whole, you know, should we obey God? Yes, I'm not going to get into that tonight. I'm just telling you that when you're dying and you're in a pinch and you call upon the name of the Lord, God said He would save you.
Amen.
Now, why am I saying all that? Because out of this, watch this. Take your Bible. Let me put my place marker. Take your Bible, turn to Isaiah 55. In fact, I'm going to throw it out to you. Name a religion. Just out of the top of your head, name a religion. Mormonism. Does Mormonism require works and obedience? Definitely. Give me another one. Catholicism, do they require works and money and strict adherence and obedience? Look at these boys. He looks like he knows what he's talking about. He's not just going, mm-hmm. He's going, mm-hmm. Well, it makes me dizzy. I don't see how you do that. That's all right. God didn't call me to be a dancer. Amen. Okay? Give me another one. And if you don't do the work, and you don't pay the money, and you don't do this and do that, you're not in. You're not going. They'll kick you out. Somebody else. Give me name a religion off the top of your head. Huh? Jehovah's Witness. You know what they did? They string him along. They keep stringing him along. No, keep going. Keep going. Keep knocking. Keep showing up. Keep doing what we tell you to do. Keep it up. Keep it up. Keep it up. And if you don't, well, you may not. You probably won't be one of the 144,000. They just keep stringing them along. Give me another one.
Wicca.
Huh? Wicca. Wicca requires a strict adherence to the rituals that are required to perform in order to get the force of witchcraft to work for you. You must draw a perfect circle. You must draw a pentagram inside that circle. You must light candles here. I know probably too much that I should know. You must do all this. You must face in a certain direction. You must make certain hand gestures. And you definitely must say all the right words in order to get the force of witchcraft to work for you. He's dead right. He knows exactly what he's talking about.
Judaism
is the prime example of the Old Testament saying strict adherence of the law will cause God's grace to fall upon me, and that's not even mentioned in the law. Okay? Somebody, give me another one.
American Indians.
Same thing. You must do a dance, beat the drums, the rites of passage into manhood. You've probably seen some of those. They require these works, these performances, these rituals, these chants and everything in order to get the God to do what it is that they wanted him to do. In order to satisfy the demands of the God, they must do this and they must do that. Okay? Let me tell you something. Jesus Christ was the only one who could satisfy the demands of a just and holy God. And he already did. Somebody say amen. Matthew, you had your hand up. Buddhism. It requires the prayer, the meditation, the chant. It requires denying yourself of all these little things in the world. This, that. And some would even say, well, some of these religions have good morals. That's exactly right. You know why? Because they're a requirement. And if you don't perform the good morals and functions, you're not going. Period. No grace in these things. No grace. Give me one more. Four more roll here. Huh? Church of Christ. Well, I'm glad you said that. Church of Christ, I'm here to tell you, they got themselves a nice little cult there, because they say if you are not water baptized in their church, you're going to burn in hell forever. You can call upon the name of the Lord all you want to, buddy, but if you're not born, if you're not water baptized in their church with their water by their minister, you're going to burn in hell. That is a false doctrine. False doctrine. Okay? Isaiah 55. Here's the real religion. Isaiah 55 verse 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth. You know what that word ho means? Ho! That's a beckoning. Okay? My mama used to go out about this time in the evening. Okay? Actually, it was later, about 8:30, just before the mosquitoes started coming out real good. She used to go out on the porch and cup her hands like this. Now, she would say my name, but the 2 miles I was away, it wasn't that long, but anyway, I didn't hear my call. I heard, ah! But the sheep knew her voice. Okay? And I'd go, I gotta go home. Amen? That's what that word ho is. Okay? Ho! That's calling you. That's beckoning you in. Amen? Okay? Even in naval deals. I sing a song called Ship Ahoy, but in the old times, back before radios, if a ship passed by, there'd be somebody on another ship go, Ship Ahoy! And that was so that sound would carry across that water to get the attention of that other ship. Okay? Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. and he that hath no money. Amen. This gospel was written. Look over in Isaiah 61. Just hold your place there. This, verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim the liberty to the captives. He didn't say, get your broken heart fixed and then we'll work on it. He didn't say, set yourself free. He's proclaiming liberty to those that are already captive and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Now, when Jesus reads this in Luke chapter 4, it says he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. And I heard one of these stupid, money-grubbing preachers on TV saying the gospel is to be preached to poor people to make them rich. And he said, if your gospel does not make you wealthy, you ain't got the right gospel. It is false. And they cut to the audience when he said that, and you're all going, amen, amen. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Now, how do you buy something without money and without price? It's already been purchased. Amen? Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Man, and I could just keep going and going. I'm just going to tell you that what God has is free. What the real God has is free. No man could satisfy. The law did have demands. The law had demands that must be satisfied. The thinking of the Jew is that they're thinking that they can satisfy the demands of the law, but they cannot. If a man offends the law in one point, he is guilty of all, the Bible says.
Yes.
So if you are, even if you are a lawbreaker one time, you are a lawbreaker. Okay? And the deal that God made with Israel was, if you keep every one of these commandments and don't break any of them, then you shall live. But then they broke the commandments.
Yes.
And they must die. And only Christ, who never failed and never sinned, only he could have satisfied the demands that the law had placed, and he did. And now he offers that to everyone free of charge, without performance. Amen?
Amen.
Let me ask you a question. How rampant do you think that illegal steroids and stuff like that is in professional sports? Even Mark McGwire comes out and admits it. He don't want to admit it, but he's got to admit it. He juiced up. Why did he do that? Huh?
Why did he do that?
The demands that's placed upon professional athletes at the highest level, like NBA and NFL and all that. Who are we kidding? Even, what was this, Lance Johnson, who ran the bicycle race, won it four times? Lance Armstrong, they're even saying that he juiced up. Okay? The demands that society places upon these professional athletes to perform is absolutely insane. And they must do it, or they don't get the money, they don't get the paycheck, they don't do this, they don't do that. And I'm suspect and leery of any athlete that exceeds far beyond what everybody else is doing. I'm suspect of that. Okay. Now, I like sports, and I hate to think about that, but I am suspect of that going on. You hear what I'm saying?
Amen.
Okay? And I'm just here to tell you that we cannot meet nor satisfy the demands of a just and holy God, and you will never earn enough money, even if you're Warren Buffett, you will never earn enough money in 1,000 lifetimes to pay off the debt that you've accumulated with God because of your sin. You never will. So don't give me this nonsense about, in order to be saved, you've got to do this. You've got to be baptized here. And what they were telling the Galatian church, they had to be circumcised. You've got to do this. You've got to do this. And I'm telling you, God set a precedent all throughout the scriptures that what was to be given free of charge, free of service, free of acts, free of performances. It was to be given free of charge. Can I hear God, can I hear Bethel Church say amen?
Amen.
Because that's how you got it.
Yes.
How many of you have God's blessings continuing in your life right now? Raise your hand. And he's doing that not because you've decided, okay, I'm going to just obey God from here on out and he has to bless me. You're fooling yourself. And you're arrogant is what you are. And I heard, and you can be mad at me if you want to, I heard, see this, when this Post-Dispatch article came out about Joyce Myers, and it did make her look good, she sent out, she had some PR guys do some spin doctoring for her. And she ended up on one of the local TV channels. This is back in 2004. And I watched it. I read the article, and I watched her talk. And they were asking her, how is it that you have all this money? Her quote was, I have this because I deserve it. Can I tell you something? Let her perish with it. Because probably not this week, but next week, I'm going to show you that your best life is not now.
Amen.
Okay? Your best life, in fact, I ought to write a book. Amen?
Amen.
Me looking cool. Your best life is not now. Get over it. Amen?
Amen.
Or like Benny Hinn show, today is your day. No, today is not your day. And tomorrow's not looking real good either. Amen. let me tell you why I said that. I want to show you Jesus Christ and Joseph. Okay? Verse 25 again in Genesis chapter 42. Then Joseph commanded to fill their sacks with corn and to restore every man's money into his sack. They didn't pay for that. You know what corn is? A picture of the Bible? It's bread. It's the Bible. It's grace. It's God's blessing. Jesus said, I'm the bread. Okay? They wanted to pay. Jesus wouldn't let them. You know, I was going to look this up and I neglected to. The story of Gideon in the Bible. Gideon, and I preached a message on this years ago called The Insecurity of the Believer. Okay? And everybody's got little insecurities, don't we? I don't have little ones. I got big ones. Okay? Big insecurities. And when you study the life of Gideon was all the time looking for affirmation. I need to know. Is this the thing about the fleece, laying the fleece out before the Lord? And the fact that, okay, he got it right the first night, and the second night he wanted it reversed just to make sure, okay? And God was so long-suffering with him. God never said, you idiot, I already told you this is how it's going to be. Okay? God never did that with Gideon. And the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon one day, and he said, I'm going to use you to deliver your people. Gideon was going to be the judge over Israel. I'm going to use you to deliver your people. And Gideon said, hold on just one minute. I want to make sure.
He said, let me go bring my presents.
So he went out and got, I think he had killed an animal and took the broth where he had stewed that animal's meat.
He took the broth.
And then he took a basket full of bread or something like that. And he came running back to the angel of the Lord to give him his offerings. And the angel of the Lord said, take the broth and pour it out into the ground. Now, what good does good beef broth do poured out on the ground? Yeah. Nothing. Then he said, take the basket full of your offerings and set it on this rock. And he did. The angel of the Lord went, and it all burned up with ashes. And it was just ashes everywhere. And I read that one time and I went, look at that! Because God doesn't accept men's gifts. The real God does not. Amen?
Amen.
So pour the broth. The angel of the Lord didn't say, thank you kindly. I'm taking this with me to heaven. We need this up there. It's not what he said. Okay? Oral Roberts. Getting on national television, telling everybody, God told him that he needed $10 million. And you are stupider than Oral Roberts if you sent $10 million in. Amen?
Amen.
the offerings that he laid out, he just poured out on the ground and they turned into nothing. That's how you know you're dealing with the right God. He doesn't accept your gifts. He asks you to accept his.
Amen. Praise God.
Yes. Amen?
Yes.
You stop and think about that. God is the God of free grace. And so he gives his brothers all of that corn. All the money that they brought, he gave them that much corn, and he told his guys, put the money back in their sacks. I'm not taking their money. What I have to give them, I'm giving them not because they paid me. I'm giving it to them because they're my brothers and I love them. And I want my brothers to live. You listen to that. Amen? That's the right religion. That's the right faith. So anyway, verse 26, and they laded their asses with corn and departed thence. And as one of them opened up his sack to give his ass provender in the inn, he espied his money, for behold, it was in his sack's mouth. And he said unto his brethren, my money is restored, and lo, it is even in my sack. And their heart failed them, and they were afraid, saying one to another, what is this that God has done to us? Because sometimes we don't understand why God is so good to us.
Amen.
Sometimes I will tell you that is the biggest thing that I wrestle with, is how God can be so good to me. Amen? And see, Joseph knew who they were. These are the men that would have had him killed and sold him into slavery. And now you ask yourself the question, how did Joseph reward his brethren for that? Did he reward them for the evil that they had done to him? Or did he reward them with good? Give you a little bit of lesson, something to think about. Can I hear you say amen?
Amen.
He refused to reward those who had done him wrong. He refused to reward them with evil. He refused it. You want to know if you've got the right religion? You'll act the same way.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
That's how you know you've got the right religion. So anyway, verse 29, and they came unto Jacob their father in the land of Canaan and told him all that befell unto them, saying, the man who is the Lord of the land spake roughly to us and took us for spies of the country. And we said unto him, we are true men, not we are no spies. We be 12 brethren, sons of our father. One is not. There it is. There's is not again. Okay? And the youngest is this day with our father in the land of Canaan. And the man, the Lord of the country, look at that, his name is Lord. Amen. The Lord of the country said unto us, hereby shall I know that ye are true men. Leave one of your brethren here with me, and take food for your famine of your households, and be gone. Bring your youngest brother unto me, and then shall I know that ye are no spies, but that ye are true men. So will I deliver you your brother, and ye shall traffic in the land. And it came to pass, as they emptied their sacks, that behold, every man's bundle of money was in his sack. And when both they and their father saw the bundles of money, they were afraid. And Jacob their father had said unto them, me have ye bereaved of my children? Joseph is not, and Simeon is not, because remember, Simeon had to stay back. Okay? And you will take all these things are against me. You ever been in that position? Been in that position where all these things are against me? Okay? Jacob cannot fathom in his mind the blessing that is awaiting him. He's not only not going to lose Simeon, he not only is not going to lose Benjamin, he's going to gain back what he already lost, and that was Joseph. And he cannot fathom in his mind that even though everything is against him, God's not. If God be for us, who can be against us? Somebody say amen.
Amen.
If God be for us, who can be against us? I don't like any religion and any breed of Christianity that places more power in the devil's hand than it does in God's. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
I've got a God that's more powerful than your God. I've got a God that's more powerful than me, more powerful than the devil. He is all powerful. Somebody say amen. And if God be for us, who can't be against us? You know, that's one of those rhetorical questions.
And you know, and it's one of those that just ask the question, and the answer is, duh. Amen. If God be for us, who can be against us?
The answer is nobody.
Nobody
can be against us.
So anyway.
Verse 37, Reuben said unto
his father, say, slay my
two sons. Reuben's going to get surety here. If I bring him not to thee, deliver him into my hand, and I will bring him into thee again. And he said, my son shall not go down with you,
for his brother is dead,
and he is left alone. If this should befall him by the way in which ye go, then shall he bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. Okay? Now verse 43.
Let's move on. Verse 43. And the famine was sore in the land. It came to pass when they had eaten up the corn which they had brought out of Egypt, their father said unto them, go again, buy us a little food. Judah spake unto him, saying, the man protest unto us, saying, ye shall not see my face except your brother be with you. If thou wilt send our brother with us, we will go down and buy thee food. But if thou wilt not send him, we will not go down. For the man said unto us, ye shall not see my face except your brother be with you. Israel said, don't you listen to this. Wherefore dealt ye so ill with me as to tell the man whether ye had yet a brother? In other words, Jacob is chiding them for revealing Benjamin. Okay? I mean, he's upset with them. And they said, the man asked you straightly of our state and of our kindred, saying, is your father yet alive? Have you another brother? And we told him, according to the tenor of those words, could we certainly know that he would say, bring your brother down? And Dad, we didn't know he was going to say that. Judah said unto Israel, his father, send the lad with me, and we will arise and go, that we may live and not die, both we and thou, and also our little ones. And I will be surety for him. Of my hand shalt thou require him. If I bring him not unto thee, and set him before thee, then let me bear the blame forever. For except we had lingered, surely now we had returned a second time. Their father, you should listen to this. Their father Israel said unto them, if it must be so now, do this. Take the best fruits in the land in your vessels, and carry down the man a present, a little balm, a little honey, spices and myrrh, nuts and almonds, and take double the money in your hand, and the money that was brought again in the mouth of your sack, it was an oversight. Take also your brother, and arise, go again unto the man, and God Almighty give you mercy before the man. Look at that! Underline that in your Bible. God Almighty give you mercy. Before who? The man. What did Pilate, what did Pilate say when Jesus showed up on the scene? Behold, the man. Guess who the man is that we're going to obtain mercy through? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may send away your other brother in Benjamin. If I be bereaved of my children, I am bereaved. You know what? Watch this now. This whole thing now is fixing to break loose. Okay? All of these boys, all 11 of these, are about ready to go back, and Joseph is going to reveal himself as their Savior to them. It's all fixing to break loose. But it had to come down to a point where Jacob finally said, whatever. Whatever. May God have mercy on us all. And I'll tell you this, I've been in a few of those, Lord, whatever, positions. I've been in times where I thought my way was the right way and my way was the correct way and it ought to be done this way and it needs to be done this way. And I have been guilty all through my life of trusting in my own intellect, trusting in my own abilities, trusting in me, trusting in this, being fearful of letting anything out of my hands. And probably that's in our nature. Can I hear you say amen?
Yes.
We think if we're not in control of something, then it's all going to break loose. It's all going to be bad. And here, watch this now. Here is Jacob. His efforts to try to control what was going on around him. And his boys are telling him, Dad, you don't understand. We're out of food. We've got to listen to this now. We've got to do this his way. Dad, if we want to live and not die, we have to do this the Lord of the country's way. How he says to do it. He's already told us that he will not see our face if
we don't bring him
back. And Judah stepped forward and says, now, Dad, I will do whatever it takes. I will give you surety for his life. I promise you that I will not let any harm come to him, no matter what happens. But Dad, we don't have another choice. Let me tell you what God's going to do with you one of these days. God's going to bring you to a place in your life because he loves you so much where you don't have another choice. You don't have anything else. I've been there. I might be there again. And I'm here to tell you that God will bring you to a place because he loves you that you will absolutely not have another choice. I call it resolve. Okay? This idea of resolve is that you get to a place, Wayne, in your life where you say, God, here it is. I don't care what you do as long as you're the one doing it.
Amen.
And let me tell you, that is, I call it resolve, but really what that is trust. That is not just us saying amen to a message. That doesn't necessarily show trust. But may God do with you what he did with me one morning. He woke me up out of bed, and the Holy Ghost was sitting there saying, do you trust me? And before I could lie, God was saying, you don't. And I knew exactly what he was talking about. And when I got out of bed that morning, I got down on my knees and I repented and I wept and I said, God, it is killing me to get this out of my hands and trust you. It's killing me. I want to do this. I feel like that if I don't have control over this, it's all going to go bad. And God said, it's going bad now. Do you trust me? And I repented and I wept and I said, God, you're the only one I will trust. Now, I can tell you the end of that story is that God did for me better things than even what I was able to do for myself or what I could even ask for. But I had to let it go. And I had to say, you know what, God, if it turns out this way, that's what you wanted to do. And God, if it turns out this way, that's what you wanted to do. And I'm just telling you, 45 years of age, I'm here to tell you, I have learned and am still learning how to trust God against my own will. You would be wise to do the same thing.
Amen.
Wise. We all like to think that if we can just keep control of everything, then it'll all work out right. God's going to force you to trust him. And here's Jacob. May God have mercy on us. Take Benjamin. If I bereave, he said, if I'm bereaved of my children, I'm bereaved. But I'm gonna let God have this one. Let him have it. Amen. I want you to bow your head. And I want you to think tonight. I want you to think of something in your life right now that you're trying to control. I'd ask you, who do you think you are? We all seek control for very, we all have different motives behind it. But something in your life that you're trying to control, that if God loves you the way he loves me, he's going to yank it so hard out of your hands, your head will spin. And God will bring you to a place where he's going to narrow everything down to one choice. And you're going to say, I got to do this. And that's what I'm going to pray for you tonight about. That's what I want you to pray for yourself about. Quit trying to control everything. You're not good at it.
Let God have it, all right? Heavenly Father, I pray for these people tonight. And Lord, I thank you, dear God, for laying this on my heart tonight. Lord, even now, Lord, at the time of life that I'm in, you still deal with me every now and then about control. And God, you just had to remind me that I need to trust you. And so, Father, Lord, I say publicly before these people, and before you and your throne, God, you knowing, God, whether or not I'm lying, Lord, in situations, God, that I've tried to control, that I've tried to do this, and I've tried to, God, Lord, they're yours. I trust you, God. I trust you. You have taught me, Lord, to trust you. And God, I've wept and screamed and hollered and threw a fit and everything else, God. And you still, Lord, you showed me that I could trust you. And I'm thankful, God. Maybe there's somebody here tonight, God. Lord, you're laying something on their heart right now. And you're proving them, God, that they haven't trusted you very well at all. They've been trying to trust themselves. And I pray, God, I pray, Father, Lord, with as much as I've got in me tonight, God, that you would bring them, Lord, to a place where they don't have anything else. And in doing so, God, you will give them more than they could have ever thought and more they could have done themselves. Thank you, God, for being a merciful God through Jesus Christ that you are to us. Thank you, God, Lord, that you filled our sacks full of corn and gave us our money back. God, there's been times in my life I would have given you anything and everything, God. And you gave it all back. You don't want my stuff. You don't want my money. You just want to give to me, and I thank you for that. Lord, Father, just deal with us tonight. Long after the service, God, deal with us on the way home. Deal with us at home. Lord, when we lay our head down on our pillow tonight, God, we'll just say, God, please help me trust you. Teach me, God, to trust you. Lord, bless all of those who call upon the name of the Lord. Give them salvation, we pray, in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. God bless you. I love you.
Hello, folks. Pastor Mike here. And sometimes you'll hear me talk about during a sermon or a teaching about being saved or salvation. And some people just don't know what that is. And I just want to share with you from the Bible what it means to be saved. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm not here as a pastor or here as part of this church because I'm better than anybody. I'm here because I'm a sinner. I have done things that have violated the laws of God. And I need to be sorry for those. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We all have what's coming to us as a result of our sinfulness and as a result of us breaking God's law. And some people say, well, you know, it says death. Yeah, we're all going to die. But that doesn't necessarily mean hell. The Bible also says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. See, the Bible teaches, and we teach here in a literal place called hell. We believe in a literal place of joy and peace and eternal life that is in heaven that God gives to those that are saved. But we also believe in eternal hell, a place of everlasting torment to those who reject God's gift of salvation. So we know that we have sinned. We know that the wages of that sin is death. But the Bible says in the same verse, Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, including me and including you, would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Being saved means being born again and being saved from the wrath of God's judgment upon us what we deserve, what we have coming as a result of our sinfulness. So the Bible says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I don't know about you, but one of the greatest things, in fact, the greatest thing that has ever happened to Mike Hoggard is the fact that I confessed my sins to God, and God forgave and still does forgive every one of my sins. Romans 10 says it this way. It says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What it means to be saved is that God has cornered you with the result and the things, the effects of your sin in your life. The Holy Spirit is bearing down on your soul right now, and you feel the guilt of Almighty God upon you. And God is trying to make you so that you, just like our parents used to do, God is trying to make you sorry for your sins. We confess those sins to God. We repent of them, which means that we don't want sin to be a part of our life any longer. And we simply ask God, God, you take over the reins in my life and you be the Lord of my life. And you give me the promise of your Holy Spirit in me so that I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven now. And I want you to understand that God offers salvation to you today if you will accept his free gift. Trust in the Lord, repent of your sins. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you watch any of our videos or at some point and God is just dealing with you, you bow your head and you call upon the name of the Lord and ask God to forgive you and ask God to save you. And God promised in his word, and God has never broken his word. God promised in his word that he would forgive you and that he would save you, and heaven would be your eternal home. I hope and pray that one of these days I see you in heaven and you get to see me in heaven. God bless you. Bye-bye.